look to me like services like these would move a heart of stone. Thank the Lord for everyone who's here this morning and for all the Lord's blessings through this week. What shall we say? There's not a man, it's not as if it were any of us, but it is the Lord of glory that's had mercy on us and answered our prayers. And I, for my part, feel very unworthy of it, but I'm glad he let me be a part of it. We started out this meeting by reading a scripture in Daniel. We're coming full circle now. I want to read it again. 2:44. It says, "And in the days of these kings shall a God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. It shall stand forever." Thank the Lord for a kingdom to stand forever. I know about that kingdom. I don't know all about it, but I know some about it. I'm in it. It's home. I love it. Hebrews 11. It's Israel. It's Jerusalem. Not Jerusalem in the desert. Jerusalem which is above is free. It's the mother of us all. And I think back over the heritage of this great nation. Oh, 32nd verse, 11th chapter of Hebrews. "What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson." You know, Gideon took 300 men, listened to the Lord, went out against an army like grasshoppers for multitude, sand of the seashore. That's what the scripture said. Beat them. Won a great victory. Those fellows ran off in the night, killing one another while they went, terrified because of the army of Israel. You remember what his battle cry was? Brother Salmon's got a book in the room where I was staying that tells about the great battles of World War II. 2nd Marine Division, when they fought on Tarawa, they've got a battle flag that's on their regimental standard now that represents that battle. Gideon had a battle cry that he took into the combat. Oh, in Arnhem during World War II, when the British paratroopers dropped on that little city and fought the Germans, surrounded and cut off and nearly destroyed. But they'd fought in the deserts and they'd heard those Arabian fellas riding their camels, and it said it seemed like every time they stopped one of them, or their common greeting was, "Oh, Mohammed." And they picked that up for their battle cry. Didn't mean anything to anybody but them, but they lived and died by that. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. You remember Gideon? He was a great warrior for the Lord. He was a man, flesh and blood, like you and I are. But he won a great victory for the Lord. And of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah. You remember who Barak was? Barak went out with 10,000 men and fought a great battle. And the Lord mightily delivered Israel through Barak. Samson, with the jawbone of a donkey, what did he kill? 1,000 Philistines in one day. Those are my forebears. That's why I love Israel. It's a land of heroes. It's a land of conquerors. It's my land. I love it here. Jephthah lived in the prophetess Deborah's time. Had another great battle with an enemy. And got afraid. He was a man just like you and I. Did you ever get afraid? He got afraid. And he said to Deborah, I'm afraid to go up to battle unless you go with me. And Deborah said, I'll go with you, but you won't win any honor in this battle. It'll be won by a woman. And Jael, the leader, the king of the forces that were coming against him, got in a great fight. And there were, if I remember right, something like 120,000 men killed that day with a sword. Jael ran for his life. No, Jael was the woman who killed that king, wasn't she? Ran into that woman's tent, and she took a nail and a hammer and drove it through his temples while he was asleep. A woman of Israel and a man of Israel. Of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. You remember Samuel? That fearless, mighty man of God, when the time came, was not afraid to stand up to Saul before all the people and tell him the truth. When the people cried for a king, Samuel was the man that told them what the result would be if they got a king. When he was just a child, 9 years old, in Eli's household, the Lord came down and talked to Samuel one night. He went in and pronounced judgment against the high priest of Israel. May there always be in Israel prophets that'll tell the whole truth and live to it. You mind, David? David established the kingdom. Time had failed to tell of it all. The writer said, and that's right. But let me read some of it to you this morning. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. Have you ever had the enemy to tell you, you just cannot do the right thing in this case? But there's been an Israelite before you that did. That did. You can. Born of the same blood, carrying the same heritage on. Obtained promises. The book made alive to them. Stopped the mouths of lions. Quenched the violence of fire. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. This reading of scripture this morning applies to mighty, valiant men of God, and it applies to trembling little widow women in fear. Out of weakness were made strong. People that came to the limit where they could not go any farther. At that point, out of weakness were made strong. My ancestors, my forefathers, along the journey, Israelites, waxed valiant in fight. John Bunyan was one of those. He told about in his story of the Pilgrim's Progress, Christian, or one of valiant for truth, I believe it was, got in a fight, battling against three enemies, trying to cast him out of the way. He said his sword was a right Jerusalem blade. He was a sword of an Israelite, forged in fire. And he said he swung that sword and he wounded them and they wounded him. And he said the blood flowed down over his hand and onto the sword, and when it did, he fought with it like his sword was part of his arm, just extended out there. Waxed valiant in fight. You know there are people who rise up in battle. There are people in the Lord's army who are valiant for the truth upon the earth, who, when the battle gets hot, they get hot too, hot for the Lord, their hearts burn hot within them. You know, there are still people with faith to move mountains out of the way, who accustomed in life to coming into difficult situations and praying through them with victory. Examples. Waxed valiant in fight. When the danger got hot, their soul waxed hot, and they burned to meet the challenge and were not afraid of the devil. And you read in the book of Job. Job had some of that in him. The scripture writes about the horse there. Oh, Lord, help us this morning be able to say all these things. Have you heard the sound of the horse? He said, He hears the thunder of the captains and the shouting and the sound of the trumpet. And when he does, it's like an old battle horse. It just stirs him up to the combat, and he's eager and anxious to get right out in there and get his part of it. That's talking about people with faith in their soul and determination, valiant for the truth, set to believe and defend the thing. Wax valiant in fight. Turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. My ancestors, people who believe the way that I do, my people. One man was a minister during the persecutions of Bloody Mary in England. Followed right on in his same tradition. The authorities of the crown caught him and put him in prison, forbade him to preach anymore. He refused to stop. They cut out his tongue. He refused to recant. They brought in his children and tortured him before their faces. He refused to recant. They cut his flesh and tore him with hooks. And he refused to recant. And took him out and stretched him on the rack, and he would not give up, and he died serving the Lord. My ancestors, I can't give this thing up, folks. I have a heritage behind me, a people that have suffered more than I have for it. And I have said I'm one of them too, and I can't give it up. It just goes too deep. It just goes too deep. It reaches too far. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Not accepting deliverance. Along during that same time period, one man was caught and condemned by the tribunal to be burned to death at the stake. His friends gathered round him, said to him when they visited him in prison, "Now, it might just be a few days until we're facing the same fate that you are facing. So we want you to give us a sign when you're in the fire. You know, fire can overwhelm you. Pain, suffering." He said, if it's so that a man can stand it and still keep his sanity and his resolution, we want you to clap your hands for us. For when you get to the point you can't talk anymore, if you can just clap your hands." So they took him out and chained him up and piled the faggots around his feet, my brother, and threw the burning torch over in there and set him on fire. And he screamed and cried and burned like people do in that kind of time until his legs were gone and his chest and muscles. And he said at the very last, when it looked like there was nothing left but a skeleton, just nearly the bare bones, but they come sticking out of the fire and clap themselves together, "I've still got the victory," right down to the end of the thing. We're bold, endured torture. Those are my brethren that did those things. For you or me to let down on this kingdom is to betray the sacred trust that they died for and committed down into your hands and mine. That's why that the scripture records these things about faith, that you and I might remember them. We're tortured, not accepting deliverance. This man might have recanted perhaps and had deliverance, but his testimony was, like the songwriter said, "In the greatest suffering man may undergo, he shall have the victory if you count it so." Men of courage, men of determination, valiant for the truth upon the earth, willing to suffer for the gospel. Those are my forefathers, and I claim the same line of heritage from men like those. My flesh feels pain just like anybody else's does. But I have a resolution in my heart today that if the Lord could give them grace to bear that kind of thing and be faithful, then it's a light thing for me to be able to trust my body into the Lord's hands. He can take care of me too, and I will trust him by his grace. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. The Lord's people, my people. Revelations 19. And 8, maybe we'll start speaking of the church. The writer said, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Thought of a song. I'd like to find it. It's 354 in our book. It says, oh, put on thy beautiful garments, fair Zion, thou home of the blessed. Ere long we shall see thee transported to yonder fair haven of rest. It's almost time for me to leave West Virginia. And I don't know if we'll ever be gathered together like this again or not, and you don't either. But I want to leave you some words to remember. You've heard them many times, but I want to tell them to you again. Saints, it's not much farther. It won't be long. It will all be over in that other world. Endure what you have to. Bear what you must. Suffer what's required. Because it won't be much longer and it'll all be over. And every bit of it will be worth it. We have a precious heritage that's been handed down to us. A battle cry, a slogan, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. The example set before us of mighty men of God who have endured greatly, that you and I could have this precious gospel committed to us and the privilege to receive it and understand it. Well, let's put on our beautiful garments. This scripture said, to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. It is time now. The Lord is pleased for us, you and I and all who call on the name of the Lord, to eschew evil, to be men, to pick up our place in the world and go with it. Let's put on our garments. Let's wear our righteousness. Let's pay the price to be a clean and an upright and a holy people. Let's make whatever sacrifice is necessary. It's time now to put on our beautiful garments. Ere long we shall see thee transported to yonder fair haven of rest. The day of this world is declining. There are many people wrapped up in this world. Oh, I've got a message for them. The day of this world is declining. It's on the downward slope. The heroes of this world, the mighty men of this world, are destined to the dust, and their deeds will be an infamy against them and will not be worthwhile or accomplishing. But there have been heroes in the work of the Lord, and their works do follow after. The forces of sin are combining. The Lord, the faithful, our Lord is refining. And soon shall the bridegroom appear. Put on thy beautiful garments, fair city of peace from above. 'Tis granted that saints should array thee in righteousness, purity, love. Saints, that's you and me, is granted to array the kingdom that'll never end. Became a great mountain. Oh, what an honor, what a privilege. That the Lord would give to you and me the place to put the clothing on His church. By our lives to array the thing in unity and purity and righteousness and love. Put on thy beautiful garments. Zion, fair bride of the land, you people of the Lord, put on your beautiful clothes. Wear the cleanness that the Lord gives His people. Wear the love that the Lord gives His people. Put it all around your life. Put it in your soul. Take it with you everywhere you go. It's granted that saints shall array thee. Put on her clothes for her in righteousness, purity, love. The earth and her pillars are quaking. The powers of heaven are shaking. The light of the evening is breaking, and soon shall the bridegroom appear. Oh, put on thy beautiful garments, for now is the evening of time. The darkness of earth far is driven by light of the gospel sublime. A voice comes from heaven, oh, hear it. Let children of Zion all cheer it. Unite in one body and spirit, for soon shall the bridegroom appear. Put on thy beautiful garments. Thy glory let shine from on high, that kings may behold its fair gleaming and all who in our darkness still lie. For God hath thy foes all subjected, and round thee his bulwarks erected. Oh, let him in thee be perfected. Soon shall the bridegroom appear. I won't leave you with those thoughts. God hath thy foes all subjected. What more could we say than that? What greater comfort could there be in life than to know that the Lord has been the help of his people to subject all thy foes? And round thee his bulwarks erected. Put his wall around you, his everlasting arms around his people. Oh, let him in thee be perfected. Let him work in your life. Let him work in my life. Let him have his way in us and guide and lead us in a way everlasting. There's a dispensation of the gospel committed to you and me. Barak had a dispensation of the gospel committed to him. The time that he lived in. He's not responsible for the world that we're living in today. The drugs, the rock music, the whatever else there is that's out there. He didn't have that to deal with. He had an enemy, a literal enemy. But he did his job. And he won his victory. And he'll have his reward. We have a dispensation of the gospel committed to us. Oh, saints, would God the Lord would help us everyone to receive the burden of these things that we have today. Take it and live it and keep the trust. Keep the heritage. Remember those. Remember their screams when they burn. Remember their cries and what they did it in part for you and me. And we are to take up that old blood-stained cross, that banner with the blood still on it, and carry it ourselves on into the battle a little farther, and win once again some more victories for the Lord in our generation, the time that we are living in, the world that we have to face, and the forces of the enemy that are out there before us. I don't care what they are. I don't care how great they are. We are citizens of a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, that's big enough to face and overcome and destroy every one of them. I'm no David, I am no Barak, I am no Samson, but I'm an Israelite. And I love this place, and I'll fight for it. I know what it means to swing a sword. I've been in some battles. I've come back sometimes when I wasn't very proud of the battle that I'd been in. The only way I won it was because the enemy slipped. But I was alive and he was dead. Got his head in my hand. Got some scars on my helmet all right and been beat around some, but I'm still alive. I'm an Israelite. I aim to be alive at the end of this thing. I aim to still be serving the Lord. Let me read you one more song. You won't like this one, but I want to leave it with you anyway. It's number 351 in our book. It is my prayer to you. My love for you. I have loved you more than I can say in a meeting like this. I care what happens here. I count you my brethren. I want you to leave your prayers with me too. You know what it says? God be with you till we meet again. I, as counsel's guide, uphold you. May it ever be so for you. May it ever be so for me. This precious thing that we have, that the Lord gave to us, so wonderful, so valuable, so many have died for it, so many have been faithful to it. Oh, somebody says, I can't live it, my trial is too great for me. Don't you know the 12th chapter of that book of Hebrews, first verse said, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, when the Lord comes again, he comes with 10,000s of his saints. It's not those literal clouds that he's coming back with again. It's a cloud of witnesses. And whatever my battle might be, that I just fall down and stumble, when I get over there to meet the Lord, I'm going to find somebody else that had that very same weakness, that very same temptation, that didn't give up, that made it. And I can make it too. And you can make it too. God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guide uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. Oh, may the Lord grant every one of us here till we meet again. If we meet in this world or the world beyond, that the Lord keep you with his sheep. And when he calls his sheep, you hear that voice too. And you come. Brother Gibson told about, maybe you've heard it, I'll tell it again anyway. It's good. He got out in the mountain somewhere and he found a shepherd. Sheep all over the side of the mountain. He said, let me call your sheep. Man said, sure, go ahead. Said he called and called. Sheep didn't do anything. Now he said to the shepherd, you call them. He said that shepherd stood up and called one time, and every sheep on the side of the mountain lifted his head. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. Oh, may the Lord fold you with his sheep. Didn't the scripture say, though we or an angel from heaven bring any other doctrine unto you, let him be accursed. Stay with the word, saints. Follow the voice of the Lord. May the Lord grant you in his providence and mercy to keep you in the fold with his sheep. God be with you till we meet again. Neath his wings securely hide you. Daily manna still provide you. Oh, may the Lord grant you every day when the meeting's past, when you're tired, when the snow falls, when you have trouble going to work, when the children are sick, when problems come, whatever they are. May the Lord grant you every day when you get up to pray that he'll meet you there and bless your soul and give you some food to carry you through that day, to make you strong. This is Israel. There's not any other nation in the world like it. I'm not interested in the leeks and garlics down in Egypt this morning or whatever the Syrians may be having to eat. In Israel, we eat manna. We eat it every morning. May the Lord grant you, as Israelites indeed, daily manna, food to your soul. God be with you till we meet again. When life's perils thick confound you, put his arms unfailing round you. Since the last time I was here, Brother Mansell's lost a child. I've had some heartaches and griefs in my life too. Others of you have. Who'll be next? I don't know. You don't. But when the perils are thick, when the trouble's heavy, may the Lord put his arms unfailing round you. May he stand by you. Do you know the love of the saints at a time like that? It's wonderful, but it's nothing compared to the love of the Lord. May he put his arms unfailing round you. Keep love's banner floating o'er you. Smite death's threatening wave before you. Well, it isn't much. That's what I have this morning. My heart's too full to say any more. May the Lord grant you those things. May the Lord grant you whatever you think of this meeting or of me. May the Lord grant us to meet at the end of the journey. At the throne, still Israelites. Still part of the kingdom. Still got the victory. Still serving the Lord. Pray for me. I want to be saved.